grace to you and peace. In the name of our Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God we have. Amen. Today, in the gospel, Jesus goes home. And we might say, oh, there's nothing quite going home. You may not want to stay, but at least you get to go home and visit those that you know well. And it's always good to come back as well at times. By all indications, things just should go swimmingly well for Jesus, because what has Jesus just done in his ministry? We heard a little bit about it last week. You know, here we are in Mark chapter 6. If chronologically we take things as they are, in Mark chapter 5, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus experiences this demoniac, this man that with a demon, and he lives across the water in the Sea of Galilee, and nobody wants to be near him. He runs around with no clothes on, and he hides in the caves and by the tombs, and so Jesus goes to him, and he brings out this demon. And if you recall, he sends these demons into the swine, into the pigs that are located there in the field, and the pigs run and they jump off the cliff. And every year when I read that, I always remind us that's the first case of deviled ham. In fact, I think I was here last year when I shared that gospel, and I shared that and you laughed as well. So either memory's going or you're just a nice crowd. I appreciate that. So Jesus does that. And then what we heard in the gospel, in the sermon, is that Jesus, there's two different healings, right? There's the woman who has for 12 years been in pain with hemorrhaging. And she comes up behind Jesus and she says, if I could only touch his cloak, if I could only touch his clothes. And Jesus is on his way, as the crowd sees it, to bigger and better things, because it's the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, whose daughter, who is also 12 years old, who is at the point of death. And everyone looking around must be thinking, Jesus has better things to do than to deal with you. And it's a shame how we do that, how we compartmentalize needs. Jesus is here for all needs. And he says, who's touched me, remember? And the disciples say, how in the world can he say that? Everybody's pressing in on you. They're all touching you. And she is healed. We don't hear any more about what happens with her. I bet she ran home and said, you're not going to believe what this man can do. Jesus makes his way out, and not only has the child been a child of sickness, but at that point, death, and he raises her to new life. Yeah, I would say it's time for a little rest. It's time to go home, Jesus. And he goes home. And by all accounts, Jesus is sort of like homeboy's done good, you know. we didn't see this in you, Jesus. But it's hard to go back home at times. It's hard. Because folks might remember us only as we were back then, as opposed to what we've become today. Not always the case, but sometimes it is. I remember it was Thanksgiving break 1984. It was my first year of college, and I was home for the break. The first time I've been home since college started. I lived in Alabama and was going to school out in Texas. And they knew I was coming home, and I was majoring in theology and communications. And they thought, well, let's, and this is what they called me, let's have Little Al preach. My dad's name was Al, and so he's Big Al, 5'10". I'm 6'5", but I wasn't six. I guess I was 6'5" then. things look different, but that was 6'5 then. And so little Al said, yeah, I'll do that. They had no idea that I had been studying in my first semester things like liberation theology and demythologizing the Bible and social justice, all these things that I'd been taking. And of course, when you're 18 years old, you're vulnerable in a lot of ways, and you soak in everything, and then you try to sift out what you think is right, and so forth, so on. And I remember, you know, going back to Alabama, and I have no idea what I preached on, what lesson or parts of the Bible, but I remember the sermon was titled Racism, Pure and Simple. They didn't invite me back. Oh, going home. Jesus goes home. And this is Mark we read from, right? In Luke, we hear Jesus opens the scroll and he reads from the prophet Isaiah. They didn't have chapters back then. We added chapters, but it would have been Isaiah chapter 61. And this is what Jesus would have read. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he would have rolled up the scroll at that point, handed it to the attendant who was there. And then what he said next, oh boy. He said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Fulfilled. Now, notice how the hometown responds here. They pointed to his ordinary vocation, ordinary occupation that he grew up with, at least, as a carpenter. And though Mark does not make mention of Joseph here, Joseph, his earthly father, was a carpenter, and he would have learned underneath Joseph those things. And then they go to his non-traditional family and bring that up. Is not this the son of Mary? That's odd. Usually in Jesus' day, people were identified through their fathers. And so instead of saying, isn't this the son of Joseph, the son, the Bar Joseph, the son of Joseph, there must have been murmuring still in the crowd as Jesus is around 30 years old at this time, that just perhaps, 30 years ago, things weren't so legitimate when it came to Jesus' birth. I mean, we know the story, the betrothal, the fast trip, as fast as they could get there, down to Bethlehem, huh? Yeah. Murmuring going on. And where Joseph was, we don't know. Was he alive still? We don't know. And so they said, and get how rude this is. Where did this man get all of this? This is a child of the congregation. This is someone who has gone on youth trips to New Orleans, right? This is someone who has invested their time into the life of the people in their own way with the age that they were and what they could give. And all they can say is, this man, not even naming him. Things aren't going to go well, folks. He has a name, by the way. And suddenly, he's disowned. And we ask why. And we also ask, what does this have to do with us? That's always key, too. Well, here's the answer. The Messiah did not come as expected. Perhaps the hardest place for us to notice that God is present is when God is standing right next to us. When we find God in the ordinary, what we call ordinary. And for those of you going to New Orleans, you're going to discover a lot of what New Orleans will be calling and is what we would call the ordinary. And it's the extraordinary in them, in which you will lift up. And they won't forget you because they see in you what God is doing. And God bless you for doing that. They knew this Jesus, but they didn't. What's that say about us? People say all the time, know the Lord. What does that mean? Jesus immediately leaves Nazareth and he sends his disciples out. No bread, no bag, no money, just a staff and sandals, only one tunic. And the disciples, get this, the disciples were not partial to whom they ministered to. And the message was this, repent. For all of us to repent and hear the good news, to hear that all has been fulfilled in a way in which we did not expect it to happen. And so you and I, we are sent out too. Some of us aren't going as far as Louisiana, but we are sent out and we point to the ordinary. Think about where you're going today and what the world calls ordinary as to what you will touch today and to whom you'll touch. And God reminds us God is there. God is present. We point to what the world calls ugly, what the world calls forsaken or unwanted, and we are commanded to love such. Because sometimes we're the ugly, we're the unwanted. Because we too once believed we were too far from God's reach, too far. You know your own story. And Jesus found you with grace. As Scripture says, while we were still sinning, Paul writes to the Romans, Christ died for you. Of all things, I'm reminded of a Peanuts comic strip. That's a rough transition right there. But remember Schroeder? Schroeder? Do you remember Schroeder over on the piano? Schroeder playing Peanuts? Okay. Schroeder tries to convince Charlie Brown that everyone should know about the Great Pumpkin. I don't know if you remember that reading, that episode that they put on TV as well. Schroeder says this, Charlie Brown, you're going to be doing them a great service. I'll take one side of the street and you take the other side of the street as we go house to house. Charlie's not too eager to do this. In fact, he does not want to do it. He confesses to himself, this is so embarrassing. But Charlie reaches his first house. He rings the doorbell and begins his spiel. Good morning. I'm here to tell you about the Great Pumpkin. On Halloween night, the Great Pumpkin rises out of the pumpkin patch, brings toys to all the children of the world. And he's actually pleased with himself. Then Charlie says, I did it. But I'm sure glad nobody opened the door. I, we get to go out. We get to go out, and we're not commissioned to tell about the great pumpkin. We are commissioned to tell about Jesus as Lord of all. Jesus found in the ordinary. Jesus found in us despite of us. Jesus found wherever we go. And that hearts are anxious to hear the good news. Our world today, whether we realize it or not, are in need of hearing good news. The great news, the best news, the news that is something we didn't see coming our way. We know our past. We know what we've done. And yet, as we whisper that even to our closest of friends, Jesus says, I hear you and I call you and I accept you and I send you now with the greatest news. As Jesus has conquered our every fear, Jesus is alive. We go and we tell the great story. And as good old Saint Francis always said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Amen. At this time, let us sing the hymn of the day, God's Work.